On this episode of Nurburger, parental discretion is advised. No one under the age of 17 should listen to this recording. You have been warned. Now, let's start the motherfucking show!
So I can say bullshit.
And I can say cocksucker.
Ask me.
Jesus Christ on a stick.
Taint scratch.
Fuck my sphincter blossom.
Justin Bieber.
Welcome to Nurburger! I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig.
And here we are.
Episode 17.
Episode NC-17.
NC-17, because Mike doesn't feel like editing
nope.
or bleeping anything this week.
What better time than NC-17?
NB-17.
Oh, very good.
Nerd Burger
17. Someone's thinking.
Someone was thinking about it all week.
I'm having the same problem this week I had last week.
Incontinence?
No, that's every week.
Okay. Well, that means it's also last week, but go ahead.
I drank a half a pot of coffee and I got nothing. Which, if you listened to the whole episode, you heard that at the end last week.
Okay, sure. So you're hoping that you're going to stay awake, basically?
Well, it's these afternooners bringing me down, man.
Okay, do we want to get to our guest? Because we have a guest. He's joining us via the internets.
Welcome, guest.
Hey, man. How's it going?
As Craig cues up your music.
I'm trying.
Hey, man, how's it going?
What the hell?
Oh, I'm sorry. I never brought you back up because you didn't give me the signal.
Idiot. All right.
We'll just cut this out.
We'll try it again.
No, we won't.
So we have a guest today.
Hi, guest.
Hey, man, how's it going?
After the third try. Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Not too bad. Just hanging in there.
Do you like your theme song?
It's close. Oh, yeah. That totally nails it.
It's probably the antithesis of what you normally listen to.
It's close.
I had suggested that Craig go out on the internets and find you some sword to listen to. Do you like the sword?
I do like the sword.
Told you. I told you he would like the sword.
You're going to point your finger at me on the podcast. We're going to go round and round.
And for those of you with the Nerdburger Super Pass, you can watch me pointing at Craig with my finger on the webcam.
The Super Pass? When did that come?
Right now. I made it up right now.
Okay. So, Rob, how's everything?
It's going well. I'm breathing. I haven't had a heart attack. And, I'm feeding my alcoholic habit. So, yeah, everything's going really well.
At 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes, totally.
Excellent.
I've been drinking since 6.
Well, he's been up since before you.
Yeah, I guess. I had a bunch of writing because I left things go, so I was writing all morning.
I hear you. I've been there. I figure that if you drink a lot, you should probably drink lots and lots, and then eat a lot of crackers and cheese, then drink some more, eat some more crackers and cheese, and keep going in that cycle. Your stool looks really strange. Your bowel movements are rather intense and filled with screams, but it keeps it interesting for the neighbors.
Jeez. Rob, what do you do for a living?
I am a game designer. I work as a contractor for Wizards of the Coast, and I'm currently working on the next incarnation of the Dungeons & Dragons rules.
Ooh.
Another professional nerd.
Yes, professional.
That's what I do.
Okay.
They handed out pocket protectors and cock rings when I got the job, so...
At Wizards, really?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about stripping.
We're talking about your full-time job, not your night job.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm still trying to break in. I figured it was going to be like the Big Bang Theory and do some sort of play on that. But it'd be called the Big Dong Theory. And it'd be like, theoretically, he has a big dong, but oh, no.
Oh, turns out no.
Turns out no.
Not so much.
That's what the pocket protector's for.
All right. So, Mike, do you have any news?
I believe so. Dateline, diabetes.
Diabetes, New Mexico?
I don't have a city here.
Oh, okay.
Start the countdown. Twinkies return to shelves tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Twinkies come back tomorrow. That's pretty much it. There's really no point in reading that story because it just explains, you know, why they shut down and now they're back. And yay, Twinkies.
Rob, do you care?
Probably not. No. Last time I ate a Twinkie was this really weird scene. And I was alone at this glory hole place on I-24. And so, you know, I was there just go, there was a gum ringed around the hole in the door. No, but, see, you know, and I was eating a Twinkie.
Rob?
Yeah?
No, I think you were eating a Twink.
Oh, yeah. I thought there was no cellophane. And my mom always told me to always put things that didn't have cellophane in them in my mouth, which was why I was there. Now it makes sense.
Although I can understand the confusion, both being cream-filled and all.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't actually cream-filled. There was just a lot of blood and crying.
Wow.
Welcome to Nerdburger, everybody.
Yeah, it was a really dark time.
That was like two weeks ago?
About 15 minutes. I just got here.
Anyway, right. So I'm looking forward to buying some Twinkies and wrapping them in bacon and deep frying them, personally.
Oh, sure, because you're...
I never thought of it when they were so readily available before, but since they've been gone, I've been fantasizing.
Well, you know, the value has gone up so high. I saw a Twinkie being sold for at least $125 just the other day, so I'm not surprised.
That's actually not that far off. People were auctioning them on eBay.
I was going to say, you've seen people hawking them on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In an alley, like, hey, buddy. Opens up his jacket. He's got Twinkies hanging from little hooks on the inside of the jacket next to the watches.
And the ding-dongs. And the Rolos. Anyway, yeah.
Actually, it's...
I was waiting for the ding-dong to turn into a penis joke, but okay.
See, you know, I just set it up and let you go ahead and take it over the finish line. Because that's the kind of guy I am.
Yeah, no, the new version of Hostess, which I'm trying to figure out what it's called.
Because they got bought by who?
Metropolis and Company.
Metropolis?
With,
Superman? Yeah.
Actually, that's one of the companies. There's another company, and I'm trying to find it here. That doesn't matter. Apollo Global Management. Yes, they will be
producing... That sounds like a made-up company.
They will be selling all of the Hostess and Dolly Madison-branded snack products, including cupcakes, donuts, zingers, ho-hos, ding-dongs, fruit pies, and mini-muffins.
Does it say snowballs?
No.
Thank God.
That's the very next sentence, Craig. Some products, such as snowballs, will take a little longer to return to shelves.
Oh, really?
But they should be available within the next few months.
Woody Harrelson's character in Zombieland is going to be pissed bringing those back. All right, so I'm going to run right out and buy some ding-dongs and ho-hos. And
you're going to put your ding-dongs in your ho-hos?
Ding-dongs in my ho-hos and get a twink. No, I'm not going to do any of that
And later
stuff.
On, maybe some snowballs in your mouth.
Whoa!
Wow. I'm on board.
Can I charge admission? Got to try to make money off this podcast somehow.
Well, those with the Super Pass will be able to watch.
The Super Pass. Oh, okay. Is that a premium service?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a little bit. I don't have really an article to read on it, but it's just something that popped up, and I came across it somewhere, and it pointed me to a YouTube link, and I'll link to it. But it's a YouTube clip of a 16-foot python. Guess what he's doing? Each of you gets one guess. Go.
Eating something.
No.
No?
Rob, what's the 16-foot python doing?
He got his tail caught in his mouth, and now he's rolling down the street.
No. He's not an Ouroboro, or whatever it's called. Ouroboro? The tail, the snake eating its tail, has a name.
Oh.
Yeah, the Ouroboros, or whatever.
Yeah.
I keep getting confused with the navel stone of the universe that's in Greece, or whatever. I don't know. It could be the same thing.
Look it up,
yeah,
kids.
It is the same thing.
There you go.
Can I guess again?
Sure, Mike. Why not?
Is he doing something on a plane?
No.
Ugh.
Although he could do this on a plane, potentially.
Is he pooping?
No. He's opening a door.
Is he turning a knob?
Well, it's a lever.
Oh, okay.
Admittedly. So he's just kind of reaching up and he's opening a lever. But given that, you know, we work in architecture, we know that levers are kind of required everywhere. You don't get doorknobs in buildings too much anymore. It's always levers.
Right.
I've seen cats
opening levers on Animal Planet.
Yeah, I don't care about cats. That's a 16-foot python opening a door. Now, that 16-foot python that can open doors is going to team himself up with the self-aware elephants and the monkeys that plan for their later attacks.
With firearms? The monkeys with firearms riding the self-aware elephants?
Yes, who pre-plan. We had that discussion early in the podcast about monkeys who were pre-planning their attacks by stockpiling ammunition. I'm really not on board with this.
Now, refresh my memory. Was the ammunition they were stockpiling their own poop?
No, it was pieces of concrete.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
I have an ongoing phobia, fear for the end of the world. that involves all the animals rising up against us when they learn how to do things that they shouldn't be doing.
That's so. That's a pretty cool fear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great fear. It's great every night.
Pretty cool and pretty specific, too.
Yeah.
I have a fear.
Okay, let's hear it.
Having a centipede come squirming out of my urethra. That terrifies the shit out of me.
How did they get in your bladder in the first place?
That's probably...
You don't really want to know where that happens.
That's the really scary part.
Yeah.
That's where the imagination runs wild.
It could happen. Actually, you know, it turns out it actually can't happen. I talked to a biologist about it to kind of allay my ongoing terror about this, and it turns out that that's just not possible.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Stephen King once asked a doctor, is it possible for a man to swallow a whole live cat? And that was the basis for a short story called The Cat from Hell, which made its way into Creepshow 2, and turns out, yeah, if you believe the movie, yeah!
Nice.
A person can swallow a whole live cat. Or at least Buster Poindexter did in that movie.
It's been a long time since I've seen
Mike that looks at me like, who? Really? Buster Poindexter? Yeah, that guy with the big hair. Hot, hot, hot. Anyway, Creepshow 2, go watch it, kids. It's an anthology horror movie series. We talked about those recently. Oh, man. Snakes opening doors. Really not liking that. Anyway, we're going to move on before I start having a horrible dream. Mike,
are we going to put you to sleep
Mike,
during the show?
Possibly.
Cause you to start dreaming?
Cause me to start dreaming. Cause, well, first I have to fall asleep, right? Mike and Rob, have you guys, either one of you ever watched Deadwood?
No.
No, I haven't. Oh. I know about it, though.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. Given that we're going ahead and going to be, we're not going to worry about the swearing. What are you looking at? See, this is great podcasting, Mike. You react to everything that happens around you in this room.
Well, I got to make it entertaining for the people with the super pass.
Well, anyway, thanks there.
Anyway, Mike and Rob, Deadwood. Western was on HBO. It only ran 3 seasons. They canceled it before they got to do the final 4th season because it was too expensive, because that's what HBO does. But since we're going ahead with the explicit, we're not worrying about bleeping here, I thought I would introduce you to the show. Any of you out there who have not watched it, this is a show worth watching, if for no other reason than it is... The dialogue is ridiculously good, if you don't mind really creative uses of profanity. Because, and Rob, I saved this for you.
Thanks, baby.
You're welcome. Because they go to town with, you know, it's a bunch of people in the Old West, and so they're just kind of saying whatever they feel like saying, and they get really, this is actually kind of a light clip of that, but it gets pretty ridiculous at times. Keep in mind, the person who's giving most of this speech is the, like, he's the idiot, the uneducated prospector character.
Now, with that limey damn accent of yours, are these rumors true that you're descended from the British nobility?
Descended from all them cocksuckers.
Well, here's to you, Your Majesty. I'll tell you what. I may have fucked my life up flattered and hammered shit, but I stand here before you today, beholden to no human cocksucker, and working a paying fucking gold claim. And not the U.S. government saying I'm trespassing, or the savage fucking red man himself, or any of these limber dick cocksuckers passing themselves off as prospectors that better try and stop me.
They better not try it in here.
God damn it, Swearingen, I don't trust you as far as I can throw you. But I enjoy the way you lie.
Thank you, my good man.
You're welcome, you conniving, heavy-thumbed motherfucker.
I'm adding that to Netflix queue right now.
Yeah, that's light. That only had the guy that was responding to him is Al Swearingen, and he runs a saloon and is one of the more colorful characters on the show. That's actually from the first season, first episode of the first season. Now, if you would like 36 hours of really creative profanity spoken by people in horribly dusty clothing, check out Deadwood.
It's like my life.
No, it's not.
I live in horribly dusty clothing, and I spend about 36 hours before I black out, cursing.
Are you surrounded by whores and prospectors?
Totally. Yeah. What do you think the hobo came from?
He's a prospector? You got gold on your land?
No, he's a whore.
Oh, okay.
But he introduced me to a prospector who works down the... Not, you know, he lives in like a shack by the sawmill.
All right. So, check it out. And Mike, if you would like to, I can loan you my discs.
Do you have them all?
I have the whole, all three seasons.
Oh, great.
On disc, because HBO is... Well, it's one of the few things from HBO that I felt like I can buy that, even though their discs are expensive. They charge like crazy money for their DVDs. But I bought that one.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have any other news?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, so Craig.
Yes. You can address Rob as well.
And Rob.
I'm kind of hurt. I can't answer anymore.
Well, I was addressing Craig because he's got the controls right now.
Okay.
He's driving this thing.
Well, I thought it was because he was naked.
Whoa.
Quit changing the rules, man.
So, Mike, what do you got?
Why don't you press play and let's listen to this awesome ad for a report on a new piece of wearable computing technology.
Oh, like the Google Glass.
Yes.
Wearable.
Kind of.
Wearable. Kind of. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
It's being called the must-have tech gadget of the year. The Samsung Apex, which hits shelves today, streams video into your left eye, internet into your right eye, and sucks your dick all at the same time. Buzz has been building for the Apex. At a recent press event, Samsung promoted the device as the future of technology today.
Today's world, there's no reason to ever not be fully stimulated. With Apex, you can constantly be watching movies, checking Facebook, and having your penis sucked by a robotic mouth every second of the day.
Sounds a little like Rob.
Neil Werner is projecting the biggest sales in his company's history.
Are you kidding me? This thing does everything, plus it sucks your dick, all right? And I know what you're thinking. And yes, ladies, there is a version for you that eats you out. Hang on, Apple. We beat you the punch on this one. Samsung's got you by the balls.
Werner is likewise unconcerned about consumer safety reports that having screens playing two different images less than an inch from one's eyes can cause motion sickness and even seizures.
Whenever something new comes out, people don't know what the hell to do with it. You know, some people are saying, but I don't need my dick mechanically sucked. But mark my words, you will get your dick sucked.
In spite of the almost $1,000 price tag, customers are raving about the device.
For my career, I do need the internet and TV and my dick sucked all the time.
I already have a TV and a girlfriend and a laptop, but to have all those in one device would be really nice.
Even about unsafe working conditions in the Apex factory in India have not dampened sales projections.
Yeah. Factory, switch up, blah, blah. How about you just plug your eyeball straight into the internet and get your cock sucked?
According to Tech Insiders, there are already rumors about a second generation Apex with a 10 megapixel video camera and a little finger that tickles your asshole. Not tomorrow's tech trends. Venture capitalists are lining up to give money to a random college dropout, hoping he'll make the next Facebook.
Oh, jeez.
So it's
wow.
Cost two-thirds what Google Glass costs. And it does so much more.
And it sucks your dick.
I'm waiting for the number two with the
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't ever read the first generation of anything.
No, right? No.
So, I mean, it's, you know, you might have teeth if it tries to suck your dick. And then you have this whole biting thing.
Computa dentata.
Rev-A devices are prone for, you know, being buggy.
Yeah.
So wait for the one that has the butthole tickler as well. And
yeah, good nothing can go wrong there.
Hey, man, for $1,000, that's great.
Once
that's
again, hearkening all the way back to the first episode, that technology better be calibrated perfectly. There's going to be serious problems.
Yep.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was from The Onion. Thank you, Onion. We'll link to that. There's there are a few choice visuals in that one, but it was good enough for audio. So, well, we talked about...
I enjoyed the production quality of it too, where they had all the, because you said, I mean, it's a video as well.
Yeah.
Because it had all the, you know, I'm assuming as well, those were like screen swipes on the, yeah. So,
nice. I'm sure.
Just a crappy video, but some real quality.
Yeah. You noticed them happening and going from one side to the other.
Right.
Unfortunately, our listeners won't hear that.
Sure.
Because we export this thing in mono, baby.
It'll just go all in both ears at once.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, pretty much wearable technology in its infancy. And it's about ready to take off, though. We've got computing technology, you know, the CPUs
right.
are small enough. Everything's miniaturized. We've got low power consumption. We've got batteries are catching up. Still not quite there.
Sure.
Everything, like I said, miniaturization, all the components, the cameras, all that stuff.
And they're just going to jack it right into your head, right? Into your skull. Into your skull.
That's where it's going. I mean, this Google Glass thing, I mean, it's kind of more proof of concept. Like, hey, look what we can do.
Sure.
But really, we're talking 10 years from now.
Hey, Rob, you signing up for this?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, it's kind of, I've always been interested in, like, the bathroom experience, right? So when I go to a restroom at a movie theater or, you know, I'm at, you know, whatever, or, you know, at a McDonald's, and I go to the urinal, and I'm always like, you know, I'd like to kind of take a quick snapshot of the guy next to me so that for comparison later on. And, you know, I've got like 30 of them, but, you know, most of them, I lost cameras in the process because I got my ass kicked. But now all I got to do is just a wink, and then all of a sudden now I've got a picture of this guy's schlong. It's pretty great.
But you had to wink.
Well, I have a very sly wink.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you do the little wink, you get the picture of the schlong, but because you winked, then, you know, you got to...
So
you gotta hit that
from one-eyed monster to another.
Oh, there it is. Yeah,
that would have been so much funnier if you didn't stutter over it.
That would have been so much more awesome if you hadn't mentioned that I stuttered, because I could have edited that out.
You still can if you want to.
Okay,
but you won't.
No, no editing on this one.
Just gonna compress it and be done with it.
Zoop. That's the noise of.
That's what the
of a quick edit.
Okay.
Zoop.
Good to hear. All right, Rob.
Yes.
How about you bitch about movies?
All right. So, you know, I'm not a.
It sounds like he's adjusting himself in his seat, like he's getting ready.
Oh, I am. You know, I had to get the inflatable sheep out of the chair. So it's weird because, you know, normally.
Is that why you kicked the cats out? Were they getting too close with the claws?
Well, yeah, because, you know, how expensive an inflatable sheep is?
I do.
It's like a buck and a half.
Exactly. And, you know, every. That was a
guess, by the way, everybody. I don't actually know what an inflatable sheep costs.
Oh, come on. You have a subscription to an inflatable sheep monthly.
Yeah, okay. It's true.
It's true. Anyway, yeah, so I'm not a big... I like movies a lot, and I like to go see movies. I like nerd movies. And, you know, I'm fairly forgiving when it comes to seeing a giant piece of shit. you know, like Immortals, for example. I thought that movie was... really, really pretty. I know there was no story, there was really nothing going on, and it was kind of shitty, but it was a beautiful movie to watch. Kind of like the same way you watch The Cell on mute. You have no idea what's going on, but you just kind of, you get excited and you have to hammer down the tent peg that you're rising, building in your pants. That kind of thing. So I go to see Man of Steel this summer. And, you know, I'm, you know, as much as it may come across otherwise, I'm very, very sympathetic to the ladies. And so when I go see this movie, now, if you have a war spoiler warning thing, you know, you may want to keep your finger hovering over the button. But, you know, when I go see a movie...
Spoilers. Go ahead and spoil it for us.
All right.
Spoilers.
So when I go see a movie that's going to have characters, and there are characters with penises, and characters with vaginas, and combinations of both or whatever, I kind of expect them to have at least somewhat close to equal representation. But you can go through that movie and look at all the chicks that are in that film, and they are useless. They just don't do anything. For example, there at the very end of the movie, Superman's there, and he's meeting with his captain. He's all badass because he just leveled Metropolis and just shat all over everything, right? And he's like, I'm a king of the world! And so there's this Air Force guy and his sidekick, who theoretically is a captain, which means, you know, they just hand out captains to chicks because that's what they do. It's a prize in your Cracker Jack box that you get when you sign up for the military, apparently. And so this chick's there just, oh, gosh. And she's standing there, you know, moving from foot to foot. And Superman leaves with a tremendous fart. And she looks up, the captain looks over at her and says, you something wrong, Captain? And she says, he's got a hot. That was her fucking only speaking line in the entire goddamn movie. Now, so... what is this telling us about Superman? Well, obviously, Superman's got super sperm and immediately turns, and his musk must be global. Yeah, super musk. So it shuts down anyone with a vagina or, you know, who would be attracted to his man junk or whatever body parts. And it makes him into a useless and effective piece of shit. So you can even see with Lois Lane, more spoilers. She's like this hard-bitten, badass, kick-ass Iraqi reporter chick in this movie. And she says at one point, I'm not comfortable unless I'm wearing a Kevlar vest or some bullshit. And she's walking into this ice tunnel, and she's in this ice tunnel for like 20 seconds. There's this big robot thing practically murderizes her, and Superman has to go save her ass because she snapped a fucking picture. And it's like, okay, Lois, so for the rest of the movie, you're just kind of there to absorb information and hold Superman's hand when he has a painful kidney stone. That's the extent of your role in this film. So I know some people are like, this is a Superman that I wanted to see since I was a kid. Yeah, fine. You got your Superman porn, and he goes and does all the crazy stuff, and you've got General Zod and all that garbage. But the end of the story, and really we're at the end, is that I'm sick of fucking superhero films. I was just rock hard a wreck, like I had taken 75 tabs of Viagra before this whole goddamn thing started.
Because he knows what the difference is between 50 and 100.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There is a difference. Let me tell you. When you hit that 17th hour of erection, because, you know, there's just a warning for, you know, for people who are scared. So when you hit that 17 hour kind of limit and it starts turning green because it's going, that's when you know it's love. Anyway, so I was super excited when, you know, you started getting this, while, you know, all the superhero stuff was hitting. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, man, this is the 17th origin story I've seen on screen. Really, I don't really care. At this point, I think the best version of a superhero movie for me was The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton, because all the backstory is just like kind of, it's told during the opening credits. The rest of the movie is just like, I'm the Hulk, rah, kill. And it was super slick, right? I mean, we don't have to go through all this stuff. And I think The Avengers is even the most offensive, because not only do you have like the Avengers, you know, I'm now the Iron Man origin story. Oh, I have the Thor origin story. And then you have to have the Avengers origin story, which explains why the first hour and a half of that movie, nothing fucking happens.
So yeah, but we got to see Iron Man be cocky, and we got to see the good guys fight each other to see what would happen if the Hulk fought Thor. And
yeah, I know. And I was really excited about that. I was so excited I wiped my ass, and then I left. So, I mean, I've seen the movies, wow. And I know that I love superhero stuff because I'm a nerd guy. But I'm not going to turn in my nerd card. But come on, man. Just try a little harder. That's all. And that's the end of my rant. Thanks for shopping at Sears. Come back and see us.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. That's the end of Nerd Burger. I don't know if we can really top that with anything. Jeez. You don't have an opinion, do you? So,
Craig, I thought didn't you like Avengers?
I liked Avengers fine.
You were very excited about it because of the whole Joss Whedon thing.
Well, I'm a Whedon fan, and I got okay with here's the thing. The fact that Whedon was doing it and that it had his dialogue, and that, you know, it did some clever stuff, and I didn't mind that it was, yeah, like Rob's saying, it's like the real meat of the Avengers fighting the bad guys doesn't happen until the last hour. It spends an hour and a half just kind of setting all that up. I didn't mind it. It had the action pieces that were in there. I agree with him on, you know, on other accounts that, like, you know, every time we turn around, they're starting up a new franchise, and you got, you know, the first movie has to be half to all origin story, which just gets to be too much. You know, the new Spider-Man, I saw that. I was kind of like, oh, okay, here's another Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, it's all, hey, look, how did he become Spider-Man? How do you get to, you know, blah, 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 what's his relationship with his aunt and uncle, and what's the deal with his father, and what's the relationship with the first villain, and what's the relationship with the girl, and... Oh, and then we'll fight the bad guy and defeat him.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. I don't know.
I would. I mean, I think it's fine, right? I mean, I know they're going to do another Batman movie, and I'm sure we're going to get to see
Batman. Right. And there's ways to see all that stuff without spending the money to go to the theater and then coming out of it being pissed off that you watched another origin story. You know, sit on your ass for 4 months and watch it on Netflix or whatever.
Exactly. And you know, save my $10. But of course, you do that, then you're not going to get any more movies. And so, you know, the thing, like the Batman stuff, is like, I don't really want to ever see another Batman origin story. And I know the first Batman Begins Batman Begins was all origin story, basically. And so, to get there, it was like, you have to carry this load of shit to get to the actual meat of the story, which was the second one, right? The second one I thought was amazing.
Right.
And I'm still sweating just thinking about that movie.
I read somebody said something that somebody said a while back that there's no such thing as the middle of the road movie anymore. Everything is a huge, you know, blow you out of your fucking seat blockbuster tentpole summer type movie, or it's some little indie thing that, you know, is, you know, cost $500,000 to make or got funded on Kickstarter or is made by a nobody or is like some little weird passion project of some actor who, you know, got together some of his friends and made something. There's nothing, you know, there's not your typical, like if you think back 15 years ago when you had the quote unquote Oscar contender movie, which was like the kind of middle of the road, maybe cost $10, $15, $20 million to make. Had a couple of big stars in it, but it was a, you know, it was a character driven thing or whatever. And it was the one that, you know, like there'd be the debut of some really cool new director, or it would be like the great, you know, like the, I don't know, the capstone for somebody's career or whatever.
And it was always a drama.
And it was usually a drama, right? And it was, that stuff doesn't exist anymore.
Nope.
It's got to be, you know, and on top of it too, if you're going to have a big action blockbuster thing, you got to be saving the damn universe.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you can't just Star Trek to someplace and have a trek among the stars like what Star Trek is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to save the damn world every time.
Right.
Because it's got to be, you know, a $200 million movie with, you know, incredible special effects, and it's got to bring in $1 billion at the box office.
Oh, they're only saving one city?
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah. They just don't do that shit anymore. It's got to be, you know, and the Marvel universe is... Gotten it, you know, to the point now with the Avengers where they're doing exactly that. It's like the Avengers movies. That's the whole point of the Avengers is, you know, they're not going to be fighting little piddly people from planet Earth. The Avengers, every time an Avengers movie comes out, they're fighting to save the world from some galactic force. That's mm-hmm. what the Avengers do. So,
Yeah.
So I go to less and less movies nowadays. I haven't seen Superman or Man of Steel. I haven't seen the new Star Trek movie. I probably won't see either one. I was more interested in going to see Much Ado About Nothing than I was about seeing either one of those, because I'm just like, oh, it's going to be a big blowout, and I got a big TV screen at home. I can watch that myself.
I'm more interested in going to see The Heat.
The Heat?
Because I've heard it's hilarious.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it does look good. I watched This Is the End last week.
Oh, I heard that's pretty damn awesome.
Oh,
yeah, it's made of awesome.
I have to see that now. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to get to it while it's still in theaters. I'll see it when it comes to whatever downloadable disc-type streaming thing. Whatever, whenever that comes out. We'll watch that together. Maybe Mike will get together. You, me, and the wife, and whoever else.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Speaking of movies.
Okay.
I've got a little learning for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it learning with Mike?
Hi, it's Mike. It's time for learning.
And what are we learning about?
What actually happens at the end of Trading Places?
Okay. What actually
It's 2013, happens? Which means it's the 30th anniversary
oh, okay.
of that movie being released.
Okay, so Trading Places, Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right. The Duke brothers switch them. Rob, you've seen the movie, yes?
Yeah, a long time ago.
The Duke brothers basically switch them, and they make Eddie Murphy into a Wall Street
right.
mogul type. And they
Billy Ray Valentine,
and they turn Dan Aykroyd in. They basically crush him. It's an experiment to just destroy a man. Okay, what actually happens at the end of Trading
Places? Yeah, have you ever wondered? Did you ever understand what they were doing on the floor?
Oh, of the stock exchange? all the technical, yeah. What they're buying and selling in the orange juice commodities market right. and all that? No.
Well, I mean, the whole premise for, you know, making money on right. the stock exchange is you buy low and sell high, right?
Sure.
Well, in the movie, they sell high and then buy low.
Right, but they do something. They're doing it to, like, sabotage other people or the market or
well they're doing it know. They do it to make money themselves and also to cause the Duke brothers to lose money.
Oh, so they're just dicking the Duke brothers.
But technically what they do is they buy high and sell they sell high first and then buy low second.
And right they, because at the end they all say, and I'll buy up all your stuff, and everybody's trying to sell their stuff off as quickly as possible before trading closes,
right?
And even to the point where, like, Eddie Murphy's taking a couple of orders from people after the bell has rung.
But they don't.
He's like, yep, I got you, and I got you, right.
But they right. don't explain what it is that they've
what
done.
What that is. Oh, okay. So we're economics nerd?
Yes.
Okay.
We're being schooled on finance.
And as a point of information, that movie has one of the best break the fourth wall moments, in my opinion, in moviedom. When the Dukes are explaining to Billy Ray Valentine what commodities are, they're talking to him like he's a child. and they say at some point, like, you know, orange juice.
Is this
like
when
you
they're might in the have back of the car?
Orange juice. Like, no, they're in the boardroom.
In the boardroom, okay.
And they got the commodities laid out in front of him. Yeah, and they're talking about each one. He says, an orange juice like you might have had for breakfast this morning. And Eddie Murphy just kind of looks into the camera like, really? These guys are talking to me like this.
Go on. So this comes from Robert Smith at NPR Planet Money.
Okay.
Who knew he was that talented? Fronting The Cure.
I don't.
Destroying Mecca Streisand.
I don't think that's the same
and
Robert.
Now he's blogging.
I don't think that's the same Robert Smith.
Robert Smith. Robert Smith.
I don't think that's no.
Okay.
Those are pretty common names.
All right. Basically, the whole thing revolves around futures contracts.
Okay.
You know what a futures contract is?
Nope, but you're going to tell me.
You know that that they were buying and selling frozen concentrated orange juice.
Correct.
Yes. Actually, they were buying and selling frozen concentrated orange juice futures contracts.
Okay.
A futures contract is a standardized contract between two parties to buy or sell a specified asset or of standardized quantity and quality for a price agreed upon today with delivery and payment occurring at a specified future date.
So they weren't buying for that moment. Nope. They were saying, I'm going to buy this for that amount later.
Correct. And I'm also going to sell it for that amount later.
Right.
Which is why it didn't matter what order they did it in.
Okay.
Which was why it was okay for them to sell first and buy later.
Because they weren't selling and buying right at that moment.
No.
They were planning to do it, you know, correct, 3 months down the road. And that was the whole speculation on the orange crop.
Well,
and whether or not the orange... Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So he
I won't jump the route. Go ahead.
Okay. He lays it out in a five-part thing here. One, give the Duke brothers bad information. As we've talked about the Duke brothers, these two old rich guys that have bribed someone to get an advance copy of a government report on the orange crop. This will give them inside information on what's going to happen in the market for frozen concentrated orange juice.
Right, when they think they're meeting Meeks in the parking structure.
Meeks?
Meeks. That's the guy that works for them. Beeks, right.
Winthorpe and Valentine find out what they're up to and manage to steal the report before the Duke brothers get it. The report says that the crop is strong. When the rest of the world learns this, the price of OJ will fall. So Winthorpe and Valentine create a fake report that they then put into the hands of the Duke brothers through Beeks, or Beeks stand-in.
Right.
The fake crop report says the crop is bad, so when the Duke brothers see this, they believe the price will rise. Second step, drive up the price of orange juice futures. The Duke brothers have told their trader to buy orange juice futures and to keep buying no matter how high the price goes. When the market opens and the Duke brothers trader starts buying, everybody else sees this and think the Dukes know something. Suddenly, everybody's buying. The price goes up and up and up, and the Dukes keep buying. Three, sell to the suckers. Then comes the key line for the entire movie, a line that's almost unintelligible. Standing on the floor of the exchange, Winthorpe yells out, sell 30 April at 142. What that means is he wants to promise to sell orange juice in April. Now, remember, this is right after...
Right, so this is the future thing.
This is the beginning of January. This is right after New Year's.
Right. Right after where he was in...
On the train.
Right after it was Christmas and he was in the Santa suit with the smoked salmon in the beard. And
they stole the... They switched the reports...
The gun, right.
With Beeks on the train when on
they
New
were,
Year's Eve.
When they were on the costumes. With
the costume party, right. So he promises to sell orange juice in April for $1.42 per pound. The 30 in the line means that he wants to start by selling 30 contracts. All the other traders think that the price in April is going to be much higher than $1.42 because of what's happening. They mob Winthorpe and Valentine, agreeing to buy lots and lots of OJ from them at that price. Four, wait for the other shoe to drop. A minute later, everything on the trading floor goes quiet. Everyone looks at the TV, and some guy walks up to a podium and reads the orange crop report and tells the world that the orange crop is fine.
Okay.
Oops.
And that's the point where the Dukes start shitting in a bucket.
Yeah.
They just start evacuating their bowels in fear.
To the traders, this means that the price of OJ is not going to go through the roof. All those traders who a minute ago were buying all they could now suddenly need to sell everything. So the price starts falling. When the price hits 29 cents a pound, Winthorpe and Valentine start agreeing to buy orange juice in April at 29 cents a pound.
And this is the point where the Duke brothers are running through there trying to get to make their sale on their own and giving themselves heart attacks in the process because old guys dying on the floor of the stock exchanges.
Classic comedy. Yeah. In other words, Winthorpe and Valentine have contracts allowing them to buy millions of pounds of orange juice in April for 29 cents a pound and to turn around and sell it for $1.42 a pound.
They sold
high and bought low. They're rich. Dukes made the opposite bet and went broke.
And of course, we know that because they show up in Coming to America.
Yep.
And they're hobos. Whoops. Well, and they're hobos.
Hobos.
They're hobos. Hobos
eating beans.
On the streets.
One interesting kicker to the story, trading commodities on inside information obtained from the government wasn't actually illegal when the movie came out.
So they did this, it wasn't fraud or anything.
But it is illegal now. It was banned in the 2010 finance overhaul law under a special provision often referred to as the Eddie Murphy rule.
Wow.
So there you go. That's what happened at the end of Trading Places.
That's wonderful.
I almost said Trading Spaces and I didn't. I got through it.
Good job. Okay, so I'm going to go buy and sell some stocks now? No?
Futures contracts.
Wow.
For commodities.
What do you think of that, Rob?
I dig it. That's hilarious.
Are you ready? So they actually, you know, they didn't just make shit up. The writers of that screenplay actually spent some time figuring out that's how they could do it. They got somebody to consult and said, well, right. This is what you should do.
It's always bugged me, though, because it didn't really make sense. It seemed like they were doing things in the wrong order. If they were selling first and then buying last, they had to have done all this work beforehand and all this work afterwards in order to end up with money
right
out of the deal, right? And they never showed us any of that. So it just kind of was like, But it's one of those movies that, you know, comes on every year at Christmas because it's a Christmas movie. And every other year, you know, I watch part or most of it.
And I always go, I don't understand what they're doing.
That original, you know, curiosity about the mechanics of how all that worked happened years ago. Before the internet, before Google, before I could just go, I wonder how that happened. Oh, let me click. Yeah. So I hadn't thought to do it. Luckily, I stumbled across this article just a couple of days ago. Yeah. So there you go.
All right. So you just nerdburgered everybody.
That's right. You've been nerdburgered.
Everybody learned something.
We need like a.
Not only are like we full of profanity. Like, yeah, not only are we full of profanity this time around, you're actually learning something.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to switch gears now and talk about science, specifically...
Science!
Psychopathy and sociopathy, which are effectively the same thing I learned. Wasn't entirely sure. It was called psychopathy, and then a while back, people started referring to it, some people and he referred to it as sociopathy, to avoid confusion with psychosis, which is a term referring to a break with reality, like a person... doesn't actually realize they're in the real world anymore, whereas a psychopath or a sociopath does. And Mike and I, we both watch Dexter, and Rob, you don't watch Dexter, but you've seen like Seven and
different
movies and whatnot with serial killers or psychopaths in them. And so I thought we'd run down and determine whether or not we are psychopaths or have the potential of becoming one. Okay?
All right.
You with me?
I'm with you.
And in the process,
which checklist might you be using?
We'll get to it. And in the process, we'll talk a little bit about Dexter and maybe John Doe from Seven or whoever else you might think of from whatever movie or TV show. We're going to look at the Hare psychopathy checklist, H-A-R-E, the guy that...
like a bunny.
Robert D. Hare developed it. And normally the way this would work is they would have a surveyor who would ask you a whole series of questions. It would take a few hours.
That'd turn anybody insane.
Right. But it wouldn't. What would happen is the questions would be pointed to help figure out whether or not you fit these certain factors. And we're just going to talk about the factors because I don't have a list of questions. And the way it works is you gauge for each question, or in this case factors, you gauge whether or not rate everything on a 0 to 2. 0 means this does not apply to you at all. Mm-hmm. 1 means this applies to you sometimes a little bit. And 2 means this applies to you all the time. Or, you know,
most
of the time to the person like Dexter or whatever. So those of you at home, you can play along too. determine whether or not you. Now, this doesn't mean you're a psychopath.
No,
it means you are a psychopath or have the potential of becoming one.
So when you get your results, please email us at
nerdburgershow@gmail.com. Gah!
And let us know.
Don't give him a snail mail address anyway. We don't want to. I brought my results over. Okay.
Ding dong.
The two main categories of factors. Number 1 is interpersonal and affective.
Should I be writing stuff down?
You don't have to.
Okay.
And number 2 is lifestyle and antisocial. So the number 1 is like kind of internal, mostly stuff, and the second part is like how you interact with the world. Okay, first on the list, glibness or superficial charm. I'd say Dexter has that.
Okay.
Everybody thinks he's great and he's a friend and he's a good guy and he brings donuts to everybody. Yeah. Rob, do you have superficial charm? Because I would say you're at least a 1 on that.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
You're a friendly guy. You can kind of keep people interested in talking to you?
I could try that. Sure. I'll bite.
Okay. Next on the list, Grandois sense of self-worth. Rob?
No, I don't have that.
Grandiose. Sorry. I was reading it French style. Grandiose sense of self-worth. I don't know that Dexter really fits that. Maybe a one.
Should I be keeping score?
We don't have to.
What was Rob's answer on that?
I don't keep score for everybody. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Pathological lying.
Not at all. Zero on that.
As this podcast will attest to, you never once spoke a single lie.
Well, I mean, I think there's making up stories, and then there's, then there's lying.
Yes. Well, pathological means you can't really help it.
Oh yeah, I can totally help it.
Yeah, you could rein it in, but I think Dexter.
Yeah,
Dexter,
that's the ticket.
Dexter lies constantly. Constantly.
Oh yeah.
Conning / manipulative. I would say he's pretty damn manipulative.
Oh yeah.
I don't know that I fit any of these really beyond the zero level at this point, which is good. I'm happy about that. Next on the list is lack of remorse or guilt. Rob, do you feel guilty when you kill those hobos?
I do.
Okay.
At least he's given them one last good meal.
So you're just a murderer and not a psychopath.
That's right.
And I would say, yeah, Dexter doesn't even, he's even justified him as like he's doing a service.
Yeah.
To ever, he's helping the world.
He's been justifying all kinds of extra things the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, that's true. Shallow affect, which is to say, when you do show genuine emotion, it is short-lived and egocentric. He claims that he cannot feel love. He makes the comment like, if I loved anybody, it would be Deb, his sister.
Right. But then he fell in love with what's her face from Chuck?
Right, but is it egocentric?
Right.
Is he feeling that? Is he making himself feel that because he needs to feel, have a wife to fit the role to pass himself off as normal so that nobody finds him out?
Or did he have some weird compulsion to become attracted to someone that was so much like himself?
Right, because she was so broken.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, yeah, that probably fits. Oh, and, just recently we saw when he got all ticked off his son broke a little vase or whatever.
Oh, the thing from LaGuardia's house that Batista gave him?
Right.
Yeah.
When that got broke, he went off.
Oh, yeah.
Angrily. But just really briefly, and then all of a sudden he was fine. So far, the writers look like they're actually playing the character appropriate to, at least according to this checklist. Next up on the list, callousness or lack of empathy. Not entirely sure about that one. Rob, are you empathic?
Oh, totally.
Do you feel for others?
I do.
You cry when you kill those hobos?
He's half a betazoid.
He's mm-hmm. a betazoid.
Captain, I'm feeling gassy.
I don't know about Dexter. I don't know that he's completely non-empathic.
No, he's at least a one.
I think he feels for people a little bit. And then failure to accept responsibility for your own actions. That's, again, I think falls into he's justified himself as... He doesn't have to accept responsibility for this. He was born this way. Harry helped to make him into a useful, a useful psychopath where he's purging the world of people who deserve to be killed. Then within his lifestyle, need for stimulation or proneness to boredom. I don't know that we've seen that at all, really.
No, he's pretty busy.
But his job keeps him busy. Right. Both jobs. His job where he finds killers and then his job where he kills them.
In fact, that's a lot of the problem with him is he doesn't have enough time for everything, especially after he gets
to the point of
a family.
Yeah, to the point that he never actually spends any time with his child.
Well, I liked how the kid wasn't even in the last episode. Like, where'd the kid go?
Never mind that his regular nanny is off banging Quinn.
Banging bony guy. Anorexic
bony guy.
Wannabe sergeant guy.
Rob's like, who the hell are they talking about?
I have no idea.
Well, feel free to chime in with just the thoughts on what we're talking about here. You don't have to try to say anything. Or you can make stuff up about Dexter, too, if you want. I don't care.
Sure. Since I'm a pathological liar, then why not?
Parasitic lifestyle.
Now, wasn't that episode where he had the parasitic twin? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
The tooth growing out of his head?
No, that was the movie The Dark Half.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Where he actually had a tooth in his head. Anyway, parasitic lifestyle, where he depends upon other people all the time to help him do what he, you know, to be what he is and do what he does.
I don't know. He's pretty self-sufficient, though.
I don't know. He's got a kid now.
That's true.
Okay. Well, so maybe a one.
Yeah. He's in the middle on that.
Lack of realistic long-term goals. I'd say that pretty well applies. Oh, yeah. Other than the go bag he has hidden in the wall in his apartment. I don't think he has any real goals. No. He's just kind of cruising along. Impulsivity, which he didn't have when the show started.
He was very much reined in.
He very much has now. Mm-hmm. So if anything, he's gotten worse with his impulsiveness.
Yep.
Irresponsibility. See, child. Yeah. He spends zero time with his child. Juvenile delinquency. Well, we saw flashbacks early in the show.
Not really, other than...
killing a cat kind of stuff.
Yeah, killing neighborhood animals.
I don't know that we ever established that he was a, you know, delinquent.
They never showed him getting in trouble, no.
Early behavior problems. killing cats and stuff. Telling his dad, I have these urges.
Ding, ding, ding.
And not those kinds of urges when he was 13, you know.
Right.
Different kinds of urges. Like the murdering urges. Revocation of conditional release. Crap. I looked that up. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
We'll come back to that one. And Mike, go ahead and talk about criminal versatility.
Criminal versatility. What does that mean? Is he...
He knows how to do all sorts of things.
Criminal things. Yes. Oh, absolutely. He's pretty good at everything. Not only does he know how to do those things, he knows how to cover them up so that no one can tell that he's done those things.
Oh, well, I'm not finding revocation of conditional release. Oh, it has something to do with, like, if he actually ends up in an institution. It has to do with him actually ending up in an institution. If he was a psychopath, they would determine that they couldn't give him conditions for his release. They would just keep him until they felt like
they dealt with
him. So that's like, yeah, that's a little weird. Doors are slamming around here. Now I'm pointing stuff out in the house. Thanks a lot, Mike.
For those of you with the super pass, is that what I called it?
Right. And then promiscuous sexual behavior. Little tiny bit.
A little bit, but...
Many short-term marital relationships. You know, we've only been with him for, like, what, 6 years or
something? Well, that first marital relationship would have lasted a little longer had, you know, something happened.
Hey, it's spoilers. So there you go. That's the rundown of the hair psychopathy checklist. I think Dexter actually, I mean, we didn't tally up numbers, but you need to hit like 20.
20 points?
20 points to be considered at risk.
I think he hit 20 points in the first category.
Might have.
Darn close.
So Rob, where do you think you fall? You've been keeping score, right?
Totally. Yeah. I don't think I have those tendencies. I'm more, you know, just, yeah. I drink too much to have psychopathic tendencies.
Sit at home and drink so that you don't run around and kill people.
That's right.
That's not a bad plan, all things considered. Well, I mean, it's for the purposes of society.
Well, yeah.
Which would society prefer, that I sit around and drink or that I run around and murder people? Society, you can email us at let us know what you'd like me to do. Any more thoughts, Rob? Any final thoughts?
I'm kind of hungry. That's my thought. Yeah. I think I'm going to eat a Twinkie.
A Twinkie or...
Oh, full circle.
Yeah, that was very good. That was very good. Well, thanks a lot for having me on, guys. I had a lot of fun.
We appreciate you taking the time here, despite the technical difficulties.
Yeah, no sweat.
Fuck you, nature!
Whoa!
What? Those weren't our technical difficulties.
Yeah, but really, you're going to call out nature? And now he's flipping the birds.
Double bird.
Wow.
All right. So I think that's going to wrap us up. Mike, where can they find us?
NerdBurgerShow.com, at NerdBurgerShow on the Twitters, NerdBurgerShow on Facebook, and psychopaths everywhere. Please email us.
Oh, jeez. What's wrong with
Let us know how psychopathic you are.
Mike wants to... NerdBurgerShow@gmail.com. Email pen pal relationship with you. Mike does. Aww. Mike does, not Craig. Mike does. And if you listen on iTunes, give us a review and all that kind of stuff.
Five stars.
You're dropping the ball. Nobody's reviewed us except for one dude named James who's on the show anyway. So help us out.
And Rob, thanks for being here. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, my pleasure.
On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Mike and Craig craft another motherfucking awesome-ass tight-as-shit podcast, but this time we'll do it clean. Mostly. We hope.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All my cats are loaded with food, so there should be no crying, yelling. I've got the wife handcuffed in the basement, so no interruptions there. The hobo is, I lured him away with cans of beans, so also no problem there.
The hobo that lives on his porch.
Oh, I thought you said homo.
No.
Well, you know, I haven't asked his sexual preferences, this being the modern era and all, but, you know, you're familiar with the term rat belly, right? Or hanging brain?
Okay.
Hey, Hank, can we hang on for just 1 second? I have to throw a cat through a wall.
Wow. And yes, we're recording.
Good.
Okay. Rob, you still there?
I'm still here.
Hey. Right.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And we'll let you go pry the cat out of the wall.
Yeah, probably a good idea. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Have fun with that sheep.
Yeah, you know it. Talk to you guys later.
All right.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.